You are listening to Troy and Tyler on Talk CDL, the Trucker Show. We are a weekly trucking podcast, and all we talk about is trucking-related material and trucking only. Tyler, tell them how they can find us.
Yeah, you can definitely find us on TalkCDL.com, our number one spot. Also, Facebook.com/TalkCDL to listen to the show, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and any other podcasting app that you want. You can find us there. Thank you so much. Enjoy the episode.
All right. So we're back in the studio. Ron and Tracy, you're back. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. Ron, should I just say Mr. and Mrs. Henderson, or should I? One of our videos, we were thinking about actually titling it Trucker Ron and His Wife. You know, you might even be known as Trucker Ron on this show now because it's been said quite a bit.
Actually, that's not bad because I have an email account with Trucker Ron on it.
Oh, we're I'm psychic. Hey, so last time you were on, I mentioned to you that you have the most downloads. How does that make you feel? I mean, you're I don't want to say you're public. I mean, everybody, we've got a lot of listeners out here in Talk CDL, and the Ron, the interview with Ron is number one so far.
Well, so far, it humbles you. I'll tell you that it really does.
Wow. He's a humble man.
I try, and Lord willing, I can continue that.
Yeah.
I just do the best I can and tell it the way it is.
Yeah. All right.
That's
well,
try to I can keep up with the topics.
Amen to that.
All right. Well, that's awesome. Tyler, what's going on up there in North Dakota? What's the temperature up there today, Tyler, for truckers? If you're a trucker, and look, we're trying not to give out dates of when we're doing things, but it is January. And Tyler is up in Minot. Tyler, if you're a trucker, tell them a couple good reasons to avoid Minot.
Well, first before I go to that, I want to say hi, Ron. I wasn't on the last one, you know. So, Ron, thanks for being on the show again. I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem, Tyler.
Did we mention Ron's wife's name on the other show? I mean, has it just been Ron's wife?
It's Tracy.
Tracy?
It's Tracy.
All right. I want to let the – it's kind of just – I don't know. Just Ron's wife. She's just Ron's wife. She doesn't have a name.
Well, she's very special to me, and the good Lord has blessed me with her.
All right, good.
So her name is Tracy, and
all right,
she's not just Ron's wife.
All right, good.
But according to me, she was.
I was just thinking about that. I was like, I kind of want to just call her by her name, you know? Like, well, so thank you, Ron and Tracy, for being on the show again. And as far as the weather is concerned, it is currently -12 with a wind chill equaling -34. We're going to get -45 tonight. So if you don't like the cold, don't run the Midwest. I guess that's kind of the best way to say that.
How good is coolant for?
Coolant, it depends on. And that's a good question, Tracy, because up where he's at, really, he said the Midwest. But I never considered North Dakota the Midwest. I consider that the polar vortex.
I consider North Dakota Canada, really.
You know, before
Iowa is Midwest.
Listen to this. Before the internet, when I was a trucker, and I would every day, whenever I'd pull into a truck stop, if I can get what's called the USA Today, you ever see that newspaper?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I would pick up a USA Today. On the very back of the USA Today was a weather map. And every winter, North Dakota beat Alaska. It beat everything for the worst bitter, I'm going to die if I stay out more than 10 minutes cold. It was insane and still is today. So I don't consider that the Midwest.
I'm sure there's people in Alberta that would beg to differ on that.
Well, I'm talking about in the U.S.
I know.
You know, and it just blew away, you know, the extreme temperatures, even in Alaska. I was always amazed that sometimes you would see wind chill 40, 50, 60 below in the Dakotas. It was insane. So if you're a trucker, like Tracy just asked, better make sure you have additives in your. In fact, Ron, what do you guys use up over there at Stevens? Is there a bottle that they make you use, or do you just pick stuff up and put it in?
For the fuel, we do use, I forgot the name of it already, the diesel additive that's good up to, I think, -45 degrees.
Well,
if it's anything -0, though, we do double the dosage. As far as coolant, I think our coolant is good down to minus 100.
Okay, so here's what, when I was a driver, excuse me, when I was a driver, we used to use this thing called PPF. You probably don't even make it anymore, but the bottle was literally maybe 2 to 4 ounces. That was it. And you would dump one of these in your truck and you would never, ever. And I used to run Chicago every week. So you know how bitter Chicago gets, okay? It's almost like North Dakota. And I would run Chicago every week, never had a gelling problem, never had any kind of a fuel problem ever. The stuff you're using now, is it, you put it in every tank in the winter?
Yes. It depends on where you're going to be heading. You got to, this is another important reason why you want to check the weather before you make your trips. Anytime you get 32 degrees or below, you want to add anti-gel. The white bottle, diesel fuel additive. I forgot the name.
How big is the bottle, Ron?
It comes in two sizes. You got a size that treats up to 250 gallons, mm-hmm. and then you got the smaller bottle, which treats up to 100 gallons. You just read the directions and add according to the label. And with reefers, you only add very little.
Have you had any breakdowns in the winter at all, Ron, since you've been trucking? Have you had to sit on the side of the road ever?
Lord willing, well, by the grace of God, no. I've had a reefer where I had to add diesel 911. That's the red bottle made by the same company. But other than that, no.
So let me tell you a quick story. One time I was flying through Ohio, and it was ironically a time where it was probably a 0 or 5 below. It was really a cold day. And for some reason, I forgot to check my fuel gauge. And yeah, exactly.
Never below a quarter.
Ran out of fuel in Ohio on the side of the interstate, right on 70.
That's $250 charge.
Oh, well, there's $500, I'm sure.
Well, it was, you're talking 20 years ago, 21 years ago. But what it was all they had to do was come out, and they brought, you know, X amount of diesel for me. But then he had to prime the filters and everything. You had to take the filters off, and you have to fill them up and prime everything to get it started. So I don't remember what the cost was, but what I do remember was sitting there for about 3 or 4 hours waiting for them with my truck not running in 0 degree weather. And I gotta tell you, it was pretty bitter when you sit for 3-4 hours in zero weather. It's hard to get warm. It really
you
is.
You almost feel everything snapping under your motor. Right. You just kind of freak out a little bit.
And as a matter of fact, generally if I'm in temperatures usually 0 or below, I usually let the truck idle as well.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have an APU, right?
APU goes up to 93 degrees.
There's so many holes in it.
But the way the cabins are designed, you have so many cracks and crevices.
Oh, I know.
It's hard for that APU to keep up, even at 93 degrees.
Well, I'm going to come back to your APU in a second, but I wanted to make a statement. I'm with you on that. When I drove, we didn't have APUs. I mean, I don't know. Maybe somebody had an APU back then, but I had a Western Star, and we'd be out in Chicago, and I would have that truck running and the heater blowing as hard as we could, and you couldn't get warm. That's how cold. It'd be like 30 some degrees below zero. And you're in that truck with the heater going. I'm telling you, you were cold the whole night. Right. It sucked.
And the way the trucks are designed now, really idling, you actually save more fuel by idling.
Well, that's I got a question for you on that. On your APU, because I never had APUs, where will it take you to as far as keeping you warm? You know what I mean? Like you got an APU going, your motor's not running. You know, I know it's supposed to keep the oil warm, right? The APU keeps the block warm, right?
Oh yeah. Any temperature, usually about 30, 40 degrees, you kick that APU up to about 80 degrees. It will keep you nice and toasty. It will.
Really?
Anything you get 20 to 0 degrees, you want to keep it, or
start
90
idling.
Degrees. And then it'll keep the temperature about 78, 80 degrees roughly.
Really?
But 0 and below, forget about it. You need the idle on, because even at 93 degrees, it has a hard time. Now, if you keep your curtains closed and stay in the sleeper, it'll stay warm.
Right.
But the rest of your cab, once you go up front, you're going to be.
When I was up there, I actually put that little bit of a foam mattress underneath the bunk. And that kind of did where you have your little cubby holes that prevented that air from getting up there. And then I also put some blankets some towels around the bed just to try to keep the
breeze. Was it drafty in there, Tracy?
Yeah.
I know. It's hard.
Bad. Yeah. A lot of drivers, I've noticed Stevens drivers usually keep a lot of pillows around the mattress area of the sleeper bunk and try to make it look nice, but it's also for a practical purpose of keeping the air out.
And Ron, if I correct me if I'm wrong, you have a Kenworth T680, correct?
That is correct.
And then didn't you have a Freightliner and Evolution at one time?
Actually, it was a Freightliner Cascadia.
So compare the two. Which one did you stay warmer in? Which one was better in the winter?
Right now, the Kenworth.
The Kenworth was more insulated.
With the Freightliner, I had to idle more. Mm-hmm. The designs are a bit different, and just the way the cracks and crevices were, and it just seemed like there was more cold air coming in from the Freightliner. You were in the Freightliner.
Yeah. I had insomnia. So when I was sitting up front, I had like 3 or 4 blankets on me because I wanted to let you sleep while I was bouncing around up there. And it was freezing cold up there. That was one of the reasons why I got off the truck in January.
Hey, and Tyler, feel free to jump in here. You're a polar bear yourself up there in North Dakota. I find it interesting though, how one truck will actually be warm. Which one was more drafty? Is it since you're wrapping yourself up in that KW, is that more drafty in there, or was the Freight Shaker more drafty?
The Freight Shaker was definitely more drafty.
Well, what year was your Freightliner?
2014.
And this is a 17 you have now, right?
That is correct.
Okay. So which one's more quiet?
Oh, the Kenworth. Big time.
Okay.
So
which one? Go ahead, Tyler.
I was going to ask, these 2017s, I mean, you still get glow plugs and you still get everything like that for the truck, or are they kind of eliminated that with something else?
Glow plug.
That's a glow plug is for when you start.
Yeah, when you start it and everything else. Like,
Remember, Tyler's in the military, so they have to turn their key on. Their glow plug starts heating up so they can fire up that diesel.
No, there's no glow plug.
You don't have to deal with any of that. Yeah. See, that's what I had to do. I had to push on the glow plug, wait for it to heat up a little bit, and if you didn't use the glow plug, you'd die and kill the battery. I mean, it was just a pain.
No, there's an extra switch you have to hit in order to start up, but no, it's usually instantaneous.
Hey, you know, back when I had my Freightliner, and I had a Kenworth T2000, but the truck itself when I compared them in, say, driving, you know, I'm just comparing Freightliner and Kenworth here since we got on this. The Kenworth was horrible in the snow compared to that Freightliner. My Freightliner, man, I went everywhere with that thing. The KW, man, that thing was always kicking out. It was terrible.
Well, the biggest difference between the KW I'm in now and the one that I was trained in, plus the Freight Shaker, is it's an automatic transmission as well.
Which one's an automatic?
The 2017, the one I'm in.
Was the Freightliner an automatic?
That was stick.
What do you prefer since we're on that?
Automatics.
Oh, you like the automatic? Okay, go ahead.
It takes some time and practice to get used to the backing up with the automatic part, because you got to be careful with the accelerator. It does have a tendency, if you push on it too hard, you'll jerk and shake the truck big time. I mean, that's just driver error.
Really? Right there.
Yeah, you got
to. So what's the trick? I mean, what is the trick to backing an automatic?
Patience.
So when you put it in reverse, do you hit the fuel or do you just let it go by itself?
It depends on if you're on an incline or decline, or it depends on the situation. Just got to basically judge how that accelerator is going to deal with the situation you're in.
You know, it's interesting that you bring this up, because I remember back when automatics were really coming into play a few years ago, and that was one of the big complaints, was the backing of them. And then I was told that they had corrected that. And you're saying, no, it still can get loose on you, huh?
It still can get loose on you. Oh, yeah. But time, practice, and patience will correct that. I've proven that with just about every load I had.
Tyler, you ever drive an automatic tractor trailer? You're all stick over here in the service, aren't you?
No, the military phased out pretty much all of the sticks right around, I think it was like 2013 or so.
Wow.
They pretty much get all automatics now. It's just when you got new people coming in that never drove a stick, you know, the younger generations, it's just much harder and they just destroy them, honestly. So they pretty much skipped over to automatics. That way they don't have to worry about that. And I've been pretty lucky, fortunate there. But it's all pretty much freightliners.
Yeah.
So
my driver trainer basically every day pretty much said, you know what grinds my gears? My students. And that's pretty much correct.
So, as far as trucks go, another question I have, these are questions I haven't asked anybody in a long time. When I was a driver in the wintertime, the Freightliners had a horrible reputation for their air dryers freezing up. I couldn't tell you a bunch of times I had to disconnect air dryers just to get moving. You have any problem with air dryers on your truck at all?
I never had a problem with my Freightliner.
Do you have to drain your do you drain your air tanks?
They're supposed to be automatics. You have to check them every day, but mine worked the way it was designed to.
What about your tandems and everything? Are they, do you push a button now for your tandems you pull a lever?
Well, you push a button or pull a button. but here's the trick with tandems. The first, I guess, two or so months, I had issues with getting them tandems to slide. I had drivers tell me use a hammer, use WD-40, but I finally learned the only way to actually unstick them tandems is to rock the trailer back and forth.
Yeah,
and it's easy to do. I've never had a problem since.
But my point is, and I don't know if you're quite getting what I'm saying here, back when I had to slide tandems, we had to pull a lever by hand. And I'm hearing now everybody just pushes a little electronic button and it releases.
That is correct. There's a little switch.
Tyler's jumping out of his skin to say something. Go ahead, Tyler.
Go ahead.
I don't know how many times I've had frozen air tanks and tandems, and just being in Alaska and North Dakota when it's -60 outside and having to work and get those loose, like it just goes to my bones thinking about it. It's just the worst. Oh my gosh. I can't.
Well, here's the thing about that too. If you're 0 degree and below temperature, another good reason to keep your truck idling, especially if you're hooked to a trailer, is to keep that airflow flowing. If you get my drift.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tyler.
Yeah. Sadly, because, you know, I never did OTR, right? So we had to obviously turn everything off at night, come back the next day. If you get like some of the wind up here in North Dakota and some of that snow and it starts blowing and, you know, you just had a nice hot truck and it comes, you know, and it starts to cool down, everything kind of just moisturizes and then it just, everything just locked up.
Yeah, that's why you don't want to, in minus temperatures like that, no, I would never shut that truck off.
Yeah.
Even refueling, I would keep the truck running.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. I would never shut the truck down.
Yeah, it was a pain. There was another question that popped in my mind when you were saying something earlier. We talked about this in another episode. I don't know if it's being played before or after this one. But it was we were talking about chains, and I'm curious, have you had the chain up at all since you've been out in the winter?
That is no. And let me tell you why. Our company policy is basically if it's bad enough to chain, you shut it down. And I kind of agree with that policy. Now, Stevens Transport does have a chain gang, but you have to be invited to it. I think the requirements are 5 years or more of safe driving. And Troy's over here.
No, that's okay. I was just trying to motion to Tyler. Go ahead. Oh. So the chain gang, what's the chain gang? Tell us what the chain gang is.
Those are the drivers that actually go through I-70 west of Denver. They go down Donner Pass with the chains, Cabbage Pass with the chains, so on and so forth. But honestly, they don't train drivers to put chains on or even drive with a chain. So that's something that's a skill acquired on your own when you're with Stevens Transport. And quite honestly, I hope to avoid getting into that situation of driving tanks, because I don't know if there's any amount of money that I could get to be doing that kind of work, driving that slow over such treacherous conditions. To me, it just wouldn't be worth it.
You know, that's actually pretty awesome that they have that kind of policy that enables you to have their, I think that's awesome because they're looking out for not only themselves, obviously, number one, but they're looking out for their drivers, especially their less experienced drivers, making sure that they're just off the road, period, in conditions that they might not be ready for.
Right.
I've never heard of a policy like that, actually. I think that's awesome.
They actually don't even have like chains on their truck on a regular basis. We had to go rent them from different places a time or two that we were actually like up in the Donner Pass area. And then we had to drop it off at a place a little bit after we got there. We didn't put them on. We didn't have to use them, but they did want to have that safety course just in case.
Yeah, that was the one area where we actually carry chains. We don't put them on. We just carry them. We put 2 100-pound bags of chains on each side of the storage compartment, so at least it'd be balanced. Yeah. But then we didn't go down Donner Pass. I think this was it was Donner Pass. I'm sorry. And then we dropped the chains off at Sapp Brothers there in California.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, guys, we're gonna wrap this segment up, and we're gonna probably stick around in the studio, and maybe we want to talk to you about something else. Okay. You know, here tonight yet, if we can, before you get back out on the road for another 8 weeks, Ron. And, Tyler, you got any last minute words for anybody out there?
No, I'd say drive safe. You can, you know, find us on iTunes, Google Play, TalkCDL.com, Facebook.com/TalkCDL, Twitter at TalkCDL, pretty much anywhere. You can use any podcasting app to listen to us. You know, Ron's on been and his wife Tracy have been on quite a few episodes now, and so we appreciate that. And you know, they're going to continue on. Anytime he comes in town, we always want to try and get him on air, because not only do you guys like him, but we like him too. So